How's the driver? I think you're on mute.
Wait, Ducky, you're right. I apologize. Good evening, everybody. Let's do that again.
How's the drive?
No, sorry about that. I didn't realize that I was mute.
No
Sorry. So the recording's on. Okay. Yeah, so we saw last week one of the things that's going to interfere with a person doing what he needs to do, L'shem Hashem, to what we call Yichud HaMaaseh, that is, he's aiming, he's directing all his maasim towards doing the Ratzon Hashem, is the Hihura Yetzer, of the things that the Yetzer Hara challenges us with. And he mentioned that there's nine examples, and they're examples because they're many. They just give principles basically of the Hura Yetzer that gets a person to start doubting the foundations of his Imunah and his religion. And the answers that a person can answer to all these between all the blandishments, let's say, of the Yetzer Hara, to get a person to be married in his imuna. Pito Yetzer. And Pito Rishon, the first one, Shela Yetzu, Sofik, Hanefesh. He tries to clarify for you with proofs and examples. If you look at these examples that he's bringing, the proofs he's bringing, if you think about them, you'll see there's nothing there. If he comes, what he's trying to do, he's trying to get you to believe that your neshama doesn't exist without a guf. And when the guf dies, the neshama dies with it, because the neshama can't function without a guf. Think about it. And therefore, the neshama is dependent on the guf. When the guf dies, the neshama also dies. Now, that's one of the live your life fully, yeah, because you're going to die. There's nothing afterwards. There's nothing left. Chas v'chalila. The Lord here, kaimus yoisa achrei moischo. There's no what we call life after death. There's no kiyum after a person dies. So what's his goal? Like we mentioned in all the Sharim that we've learned up to now, Shara Bechina, that the redifus achrei, the taivas of this world, is a big weapon of the Yetzer Hara. Those that deny the eternity of the nefesh, let's put it that way. As Yeshaya Novi says, let's eat and drink and have a good time today, because tomorrow you're going to die, and then there's nothing left of you anyway. So you might as well just have a great time, yeah, because there's nothing afterwards. You're going to the ground, and that's it. Worms. So, there are many people that believe that. Many people that think that. There are many people that don't think, because if they think, they would come to realize that it's impossible. But nevertheless, the taiva is there, and therefore you cook up a philosophy in order to satisfy your taiva. So I'm going to have a great time, because at the end of the day, nothing's going to, there's no continuity anyway. So you might as well enjoy this world, because there's nothing after this world. As we said, he's been saying that a lot. If you wanna get clarity, if you wanna know what the truth of anything is ask your seichel. Check what the seichel says. The seichel will provide you with the correct hashkafas. The proofs that he's mentioned in the Kadmoinim, we'll see who that is now, and from the different Nevi'im that discusses the subject. So ask your seichel, and your seichel will direct you to the correct sources to prove this hashkafa incorrect. He says here in footnote Tes, that the hashkafas yiskara Kadmoinim, and Chachma HaTeva, that the Chichus HaShor Sanefesh, and the Chochus Bruris. And he's given there, Ukuzori, Marimahai, Simon Yudbeis, and the Divra Nevim, and he's got a little bit of Savoidus Elohim Perit Dalet. So, he got here the Kuzari, that brings all these proofs. The Chochma HaTeva, that proves that there has to be continuity of the Nefesh. And it's brought down in the Kuzari. Anybody, I don't have Kuzari, my Mahay Simon Yud Base. But that's what we do next. I've always wanted to learn the Kuzari and I always fall asleep when I start learning it. And maybe if I give a shi, I'll have to stay awake. Maybe we'll actually manage to get through the Kuzari. It's a fascinating, unbelievable sefer. But some pieces, yeah, that I've connected. And every time I started learning it, I should fall asleep. I mean, I fall asleep doing a lot of stuff, but the Guzari and I have a bit of a problem anyway. So, so that's where you have to go. If you're having a problem with this particular Yetzara, if this Yetzara is your issue, you'll go to the Seichel, and the Seichel will direct you to the Guzari and to the Navim that we spoke about in Perek Dalad of Tar Avodas Elokim, which we've all done, so we don't have to do it again because we've got that clear. Tar Avodas Elokim. Perek Dalet. I don't even remember doing it, let alone what we did in there. So, so that's the first. So I'm not sure that anybody here has this problem. Everybody, I think, believes or has gone into it long enough to know that things don't just end here. So, but if you have that issue, and you have to be careful because it's a very subtle Yetzara. The Yetzirah attacks all of us. This is the Chavis Lavavis talking. It means this Yetzirah has been around a long time. It wasn't the 2024 Yetzirah. So we have to be careful because when we're not Me'achuz Baru, we don't live with that reality intellectually for sure. No one would deny there's life after death for sure, but we don't live like that always. We tend to sometimes ignore the reality, hoping that it'll go away. And it's more subtle than it's been placed here. It's just put across, yeah, well, you know, what do you think, you know? So no, one has to machazak this area. If the Chavis Lavavis points it out, this is one of the games of the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is a very clever guy. We have to be aware that it's, you know, there's degrees, there's levels and levels that a person can go to here. So wherever we are, that's good of all. It's not 100% real for us yet. That's why it's good to go to Levaya. Gemara says it's better to go to Levaya to go to Chasana. Because you go to Levaya, you start coming to terms with the story. Okay. So that's the first of the Pituim. The second one, Kashe Yisya'i Shayetz Meliftois Itcho Bikvo Bahasha'are Sanefesh. When the Yetzer gives up, he's Meyash. He's not gonna trip you up with, you know, believing that your neshama doesn't have eternity. Your neshama is not eternal. Your neshama just ends when your guf ends. So you've been miyotzed in the seichel, and you've learned the kuzari now, and you've gone into the Dere Nevim, and you've got it all clear. And then the Yetzirah says, okay, fine. I'm not going to work with this guy. That's not going to work with him. So then he comes up with the next story. What's the next story? Before Newton, he starts, because that's a real major problem. We grew up in the cloud of Newton, and for many, many, many from people in America, Rabbi Noach Weinberg told me he nearly went off the derech because of evolution. That was his big problem. And his brother saved him. He gave him stuff to read and showed him what Narishkat it was, but it was a real big mistake. So the eight sort of gets you to start doubting Briyat Olam. This world's not chadash. It wasn't created. It's always been around. It never changed. It's always been like this. It's never going to change. There's nothing that's more fitting to be a creator than something that's been created. No one has to serve anybody else. Because everything's not always been around, so everything's equal. And there's no one that created you, Rahman al-Itzlan. When the Yetzer comes to you with its apikorsus, which the world is unfortunately completely riddled with, and the first time the Yetzer comes to you, he says, "Mit Yetz, go ask for an Yetzer from your Seichel." Yetz says, "Flee to your Seichel." As the Yirulacha is a fios. Hadaya hazois mamavul il bashara yichud. And he'll show you the nothingness of this mahalach, of this approach to things. In what we discussed in Shara Yichud. In Shara Yichud, the Chovas HaLevavos goes through explaining the proofs for Yichud Hashem, for the existence of Hashem, for Bris Olam. There's a Borei Olam who created this world from nothing. Mi'efes va'ayin. Reish is Borei Elokim Eis HaShemayim V'Sarets. Ze kol hashkofa shelanu. And therefore, the Yetzer comes and tells you, what do you mean? Someone created this. Somebody's there. There's something infinite. There's no, Olam Haya Tamid Kacha. This was always just like this. There was never, nothing changed. Nothing. This is the world the way it is. Just evolved. There was a big bang. It was a big bang, and that's what we this is what we're living with. How the big bang? Anyway, I'm not going to start rocking the evolution boat. I don't think there's anything left to rock. I think it's completely. There's nothing left there. It was a balloon that popped. There's still people believe in it, and there's countries that legalized it, and it's also to in America to even talk about creation. Well. When you go to your seichel, if you're having problems with this, if this is your area, you need to know if this is your area of difficulty. It's not going to be the same for everybody. Then you have to go to places like Shara Yichud, and you have to. Today it's easier than Shara Yichud. Today you go to Eishet Torah, and they've got the proofs of this and the proofs of that, and there's Arachin with all the seminars and the sciences and all the whatever. Today it's not hard to prove Bias Olam. It's pretty important. You know, there's a portrait. The evolution is just like it's so full of holes. What's up there? I don't know what he was grappling with. And the Chovas HaLevavos is talking about this Yetzer. This is long before Newton and evolution. So I don't know what he was dealing with. I don't know what was in his days what the Picorsus was based on. Well, today we know what it's based on. It's based on mamish nothing. Absolute nothing. If you scrape a little bit the surface of evolution, you come up with nothing. There's nothing there. They can't answer any of the questions. None of them. I was listening to a share from Rapinkas the other day. He was talking about Shlish Shutfim L'Adam. There's three partners to L'Adam. There's Abba Ve'ima, and then there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said a doctor, a very, very renowned doctor, not from, told him that it's absolutely impossible for a man and a woman to conceive a child. It's absolutely physically impossible. The doctors don't understand, the scientists don't understand how that works. The entire process of conception to the development of the fetus is absolutely impossible. There has to be something spiritual, something taking place there that we can't see, otherwise it could never happen. That's what he told him. They said to him, well, no, that's why they're supposed to shoot for him. The Adam. There's a mother and a father who on their own can't do anything, and they need a shepherd. to do whatever whatever takes place after the mother and the father have done what they've done is you need a Kosh Baruch Hu, because it's impossible for that thing to happen. Impossible. Now, I don't understand why it's impossible, even going to the details. Well, we know that. We know that. We've spoken about that many times, how when the fetus, when the cell starts splitting, it's splitting to each cell becomes a whole cell. And there's not even a remotely decent theory that explains why at some point those identical cells start doing different things. One becomes a heart, one becomes a liver, one becomes an ear, one becomes a nose. What? They have everything in there to be every part of the body, everything. Each cell has everything that it needs to be the whole body. So why one at some point, it splits from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16 to 32, et cetera, et cetera. But at some point, those identical cells start developing to different parts of your body. That's why you have ears and an eyes and toes. But each cell, you could tease out any cell from any part of the body, and the entire system is there. They have no way of explaining how that works. No way, not even closely, not even a close theory of how that takes place. Now, that cell knows that it's going to be an eye, and that cell knows it's going to be an ear. I know not a clue how that works. So yeah, there has to be a Borei Olam. Some evolution that just the thing happened and evolved and grew and developed on its own is impossible. It's not impossible. It just does not try. So yeah, okay. And many others, we don't have to go into debunking evolution. Yeah, well, if a person has a problem with it, then you should look into it. There's definitely what to be said about the ridiculousness of that theory, and the whole education system in countries are based on it. It's mamash, it's frightening. Anyway, so when the Yetzer comes to you with this apikosis, then you have to find ways to deal with it. And you have to machazak your emuna in Rehsoilam, the Boiroilam. That was a big fight against the Greeks. The Greeks had this theory that the world always existed. And we're still suffering from the Greeks today. A lot of the science and the democracies and the whole thing, it's all kulu rooted in Greece. Okay. Right, we're in pretty good shape, though. If these are the main Yates or horrors, Basenus, we're in good shape because nobody believes the world wasn't created and everybody believes in an afterlife. So we're in good shape. Let's see what happens now. Dugma Shalosh. That's what's getting a little bit more subtle. Anybody have a Yetzer Hara? Tossing and turning at night. Is he one? Isn't he one? I don't know. I said Shema today, but what did I mean? You know, anybody got a Yetzer Hara for that? What's the problem? That's not what's keeping you and me awake at night. Let's see what this Yetzer Hara is about. It's very interesting, this. The Yetzer is to first give up trying to mess you up with number one in order to move on to two. Then he gives up with two and then he moves on to three. It's like there's this progression taking place. But they're setting it up. Very interesting. He first meet Yaish with the one, he moves on to the other one. He doesn't throw two at you. Interesting. Okay. So when the Yetzirah gives up trying to convince you that there's no Kiddush Olam, v'nase la'apil otcha la'achas mikviras ha'shituf ha'shoynos. He is focusing on the Achdus of Hashem, meaning in terms of shituf, that there's partnerships. There's more than one God. That's the first attack of the Yetzirah. Or Das Ha'Oimrim, Yateva Hu Gam Kain Elokei, Elohai. Nature is also a God. There's Elokeinu, our God, and then there's nature, who also is some kind of a God. They worship it. That those people that see the stars and read the stars, and they, you know, there's been over the years, there's been Salma Sechtas of Avodah Zorah discussing all the different pantheon of the gods and the the different types of idol worship that they are, and they're called gods, by the way. There's an issa of going after other gods. Why call them gods? There's an issa in being stupid and don't dive into a tree. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, be careful not that you dive into other gods. There are forces in the world. These are things that are real forces. They're real powers. They have power. But the thing is that they get their power from Hashem, and Hashem rules them. But there's powers in the world. Stars have what to say. The whole Marechet of the Kochavim and the astrology and whatever. There's what to talk about. These are powers. Rav Wasserman Zatzel, it's like the marshal is, if you go to a store and you want to buy something, it's very expensive. So instead of talking to the boss and paying full price, you go to one of the salesmen and you pay him under the counter cheaply. You get it cheaper. You know, you do a deal with the salesman. You don't go to the boss. You go to the salesman and you cut a deal with him and you pay him under the counter and he pockets the money. There's the sun and the moon. Very powerful creatures, these things. So I don't deal with Hashem. I just deal with the sun and the moon or the other powers or this power or that power. Avodah Zorah is not governing to a tree. That's not Avodah Zorah. That's idiocy. That's stupidity. That's not Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is tapping into real powers. All the different types of powers. The Indians have got billions of these things. The nature here, the nature there, and whatever. And nature, if you start studying nature, it's unbelievably awesome. You start seeing. But we know that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They don't want to deal with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because dealing with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you've got to pay full price. On the discount. So then you start dealing with all these koiches, but these koiches are Hashem. Ulam, kashayi boro lecha, ma shebe'anu li'il b'shara yichud, shabayis baruch hu echad v'kadmoy. As he proved in Shara Yichud, that Hashem is one, and it's kadmoy, that means he always was, his first source. All this nonsense will go away. Now again, you may not do it through Shara Yichud, you may do it through, today we have Bochashim, we have a lot written about the subject and on oneness of Hashem and Achdus Hashem and the proofs of Hashem and whatever. Where do you get it from? But you have to deal with it because it's a taina. The rain gods, you know, you want rain, you have to appease the gods of rain. No, they're right. Rain, if you see, we don't appreciate the wondrousness of all these things. So we don't attribute religious connotations to them. Worship the rain gods. What are you talking about? That's nonsense. Rain's unbelievable. Rain in Shara Bechina, we spoke about rain. Rain is much miraculous. So we understand, yeah, because Hashem is the real deal. It's a miracle what Hashem does with the rain. So we attribute it to Hashem. But they stop one step short. That's Avodah Zorah. You stop one step short. You see the miracle. You see the genius. You see the beauty. And then what do? You stop. You don't take the next step and go to the Boi Roilam. That's what they do. And they see the genius of the Bria. They learn Shara Bechina without Hashem. Yeah, they have the snow gods and the mountain gods, and because they're really in touch with nature, and they see the miracle of nature. They don't know that the gematria of Hateva is Elokim, or Teva is Ha Elokim. We know that the Teva, there's no Teva, they're all Kul Hashem. But they stop one step short, and they're left with worshipping nature. Just take the next logical step, which is the second attack of the Yetzirah that we saw. You just go back to Bria Soilam and then everything fits in beautifully. Everything makes perfect sense. But if you don't want to deal with the Kodesh Baruch Hu because it comes with a price, then worship whatever you want. The Greeks were enormously tolerant when it came to God worship. No one forced you to worship anything. There were dictators and there were oppressive regimes that made you worship their God. You know, the communists had to worship their God. You can't worship any other God. But the Greeks were very open. You could worship whatever you wanted. No limit on Greek art. There's absolutely no limit. Whatever you want. Very tolerant. The one God you're not allowed to worship is the Rabbeinu Shalom. That they wouldn't let you, but everything else was mutter. You know? So that's what it is. You're stopping one step short of Hamakom. That's the big danger. That's what Avodah Zorah is. Avodah Zorah is when you stop one step short of the boss. It's a big insight. And it's not going to happen to somebody who's working in an office in Manhattan 19 hours a day. It's not going to happen because he hasn't got time to see the wondrousness of the world and start worshipping the wondrousness of the world, because that's not what he does. It's only when you start stepping out of that world and you start stepping into the Ruchnius world and you start opening your eyes and you start seeing the wondrousness of this world, you start thinking about how did this baby come into being? And then you stop one step short of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you stop worshipping all these other powers. So it requires that step into the world of the wondrousness of the Bria, and then you become a Baal Avodah Zorah because you got caught in number two. There's no Bria Soilam. Let's maybe squeeze in one more quickly. Number four. When the Yetzirah gives up on you, because he's mamish, he's having a hard time with us, because that Achdus Hashem, sure, we got that. Now there's a boira. You beat the Yetzirah in three of the struggles already. So we're not going to have time to do this now. Okay, we'll just finish off with this then. The first one is that. Your nefesh isn't gonna last. There's no eternal spiritual. That's it. You live in this world. You live. You die. Finish. That's it. Game over. Doesn't work. So then he comes to tell you, excuse me, my friend. For sure, maybe you're gonna live forever. Aval Kosh Bog didn't create the world. You know why you're gonna live forever? Because the world always was and always will be. Nothing's changed, and there's no accountability here. There's no moral accountability whatsoever because the world just always was. And therefore, you don't have to serve anybody because there's no accountability because nobody created the world. That doesn't work. Then it starts getting you to what? To start denying Hashem and believing in all the powers that we know are Hashem, but you don't know the Hashem. These people, these apikotim, don't know it's Hashem. So they start worshipping the natural powers, let's say. When that doesn't work, what does he get you to do? He tells you, for sure there's a boy, Ro'elam. Now he admits, you're right, you got it. Okay, so there's a boy, Ro'elam, and he created the world, Yesh Mi'ayim. But you don't have to serve him. You have to serve him. We'll pick that up next week. Number four, that once the Yetzirah gives up, I'm trying to get you to not believe in Akash Baruch Hu, he lets you believe in Akash Baruch Hu. But there's no chiyuv to serve him. So that we'll have to deal with. I guess that's going to bring us to our Sinai. Not exactly. Always tiny, you don't have to prove that there's a Boira Olam. All you have to do is that God gave the Torah on Sinai. And then you've killed two birds with one stone. You know, in the Kiruv place, there's always first proof to you there's a God, and then they go prove to you there was Sinai. What? Just go straight to Sinai. If Hashem gave the Torah on Sinai, there must be a God. And then you can just, you know, tap the loose ends of Boira Elam afterwards. Well, that's always been my philosophy. Just prove that there was a Sinai. Once you've done that, everything falls away. Anyway. Okay.
Thanks, Eddie.
Take good care. Be good. Be careful. Stay safe.
100%. Shkarach, just be safe.
Look after yourself.
Thanks for this year.
Jonathan, I don't know if your government would be so happy that you're learning Torah in Israel at the moment.
Don't worry. They're too busy at the Iranian after party to worry about what I think.
I'm just saying, anyway.
Yeah, absolute embarrassment. What can you do?
It's all good. It's all good. So kol hakodesh baruch hu. It's all good.
Crazy that it's South Africa. I mean, out of all places, like, honestly, it's like, it's mind-blowing.
No, it makes perfect sense. I'm sorry, I disagree. It makes perfect sense.
You think it's Russia been set up like that as a proxy?
No, Russia would love to do it, but they can't because they're too scared. Because if Russia would go to the ICJ and start condemning Israel, hello, you heard of Ukraine?
They're already
so Russia can't. By the same court. China can't. China also would love to, but they can't. Iran can't. So they've got South Africa to do it. That's the mafia today. That's BRICS. That's Brazil, yeah, exactly. Russia, that's BRICS. Iran, China, and South Africa. That's who it is. So who's South Africa? South Africa's a nobody. So let South Africa go to the court. No one can come around and say, yeah, South Africa, look what you're doing. Because they're not doing anything. Russia and China and Iran and whoever else is involved in Brazil can't. They can't because their heads are really not that clean. So South Africa is the scapegoat. That's all.
South Africans. It's just another level.
It's not South Africa.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most people here are totally against it. It's crazy. The world's shifted.
No, the people in South Africa, I've spoken to people. No, that's absolutely, they're embarrassed by their government. But they were before the war in Gaza.
Yeah, exactly.
The government's been embarrassed since day one.
Exactly.
Well, the irony of this is that the blacks came to power in South Africa mainly through the efforts of the Jews. I don't know any Palestinians that helped the blacks liberate themselves. It was only Jews that facilitated that liberation process. The forefront of the ANC were Jewish activists. Nelson Mandela was very close to the Yidden when he was sworn in as president of South Africa. The chief rabbi did it. A very close relationship with the Yidden and the ANC. There were no Palestinians there. There were no, who were the Arabs helping there? There was nothing. That's the irony of this whole thing. They don't have the history. Anyway, we're not going to solve the world's problems, yeah?
Nah.
So have a good night. Be good.
You too. Take care.
Take good care. Batslocha.